The way that we approach truth, the way that we present truth, being willing to change that and adapt it so that we can reach more people. After all, the church is not just about us. It is about us, but it's not just about us. It's about those out there who have not yet heard, those who do not know, those out there who have been hurt and damaged by the church. How many of you know that there's a bunch of people out there who have been hurt by church? Has anybody here ever been hurt by church? Let me see your hand. You been hurt by church? You know, we want this to be a place that you can heal. This needs to be a place where healing can take place. I want this place to be one that if you don't even know Christ, you can come here, you can discover faith. We don't jam it down your throat. We don't jam a lot down your throat. We're going to represent it. But in the end, it's up to you whether you embrace it and choose it or not. Now, I believe that the Holy Spirit is going to minister to you. I believe that He's going to speak to your heart, and you're going to be confronted with that. But what would we have to look like if we had to start all over in order to survive? Now, I don't have time to go back and redo the first 7 points of this. There's 11 points of this. I'm going to give you 8, 9, 10, and 11 today. We're going to conclude this. Next week, we're going to begin one prayer. Anybody remember one prayer from last year? We'll be having several speakers. I think Craig Groeschel will be one of them. What I love about one prayer? You can have some awesome speakers and you don't have to pay them. You know, it's expensive to bring in special speakers. But we can have them through one prayer. We can have some of the best pastors in America speak to you, and we don't have to pay them a cent. Now, we will take an offering to help plant churches and do things like that, but it doesn't cost us to do one prayer. Craig Groeschel's church has given this to the body of Christ as a way for us to come together and focus and build churches, and it gives pastors a chance to take a little bit break, still be with their congregations if they want to, and we appreciate that so much. So one prayer will begin next week. It'll go for the month of June. And I want to encourage you to be faithful during that time, because I believe God is going to speak some things into our church. The theme this year is unstoppable. The church is unstoppable. This is what this is about. We want to build a church that is unstoppable. We want one that makes a difference. There's not a big difference. I read this quote last week. He says, there's not a lot of difference in rebellion and religion. Both of them have the same end. It cheats God out of a relationship that He really wants to have, and it cheats us out of the benefit of that relationship. So you see, rebellion over here, God is cheated out of relationship, and religion too cheats God out of a relationship. And many times, if we're not careful, we go and we pray a prayer so that we won't go to hell, and then we just go back to life just like we've always lived it. And we're more religious than we are in a relationship with God. God wants relationship. I mean, He wants, and it's not because He needs one. You know, if you've read The Shack, and I think The Shack's a pretty awesome book, but it shows the relationship of the Father, Son, and Spirit. And I've never thought of it in those terms before, how they are delighted to be with each other and how they are perfectly content. They have no need of anything. But God desires for us to be in that relationship with Him, and it can be just as much delightful that we can have a relationship with Him. And sometimes through religion or rebellion, we cheat God out of that relationship, and we are the big losers. The big loser. And in that case, the big loser is not the good thing. Amen? So we're going to give you the last few points of what we're going to be talking about today. Go back to the website, believerscommunity.org. If you haven't heard all of the messages up to now, they're there. You can download them on your iPod. We make those available to you. If you want them on CD, let somebody know, and we'll get them to you on CD. No cost. We don't charge you for CDs or DVDs. You've already paid for them, so I'm not charging you again. But we want to get the word into you. We want to make it available to you. And you know, if you're not here, you ought to catch up. We got a lot of folks absent today. This is a holiday weekend, and we kind of expected it. But if you're not here, and obviously you're here, so I don't know why I'm saying this. You're here. But you might miss in a week or two. You might go on vacation. But get caught up. Get caught up. We try to speak to you, speak into your life. And just because you miss, you ought to, you know, be responsible and get caught up on what's being taught while you're gone. One of the things that I want to begin with today is found in Acts chapter 2, verse 46 and 47. I believe that this is so important, an aspect of one of the things that helps make the church what it needs to be. And it says this, "So continuing daily with one accord," everybody say one accord, "one accord, in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God, having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved." There's several things in here that we could look at. Number one, they continued. Everybody say continued. They continued. They didn't quit. They didn't get a relationship with God and just quit. Okay? They put their hand to the plow and they kept plowing. They didn't look back. They continued. And God has got so much for you if you will continue with Him. So they continued, and the next word is weekly. Is that weekly? Did I read that wrong? Is anybody looking at their Bibles? I quoted that wrong, and you didn't catch it. Daily. Everybody say daily. A relationship is a daily relationship. It's not a weekly relationship. So they continued daily. Daily. With one accord. There's another key. We cannot afford to become divided. We cannot afford to become distracted. We need to be focused. And folks, we're trying to do things here to keep us in one accord. We're trying to keep us focused here because we want to grow. And notice it says in the temple. It says in the temple. And breaking bread from house to house. They ate their food. It's spiritual to eat. Fellowship suppers and eating events are scriptural. Anybody like to eat? I love to eat. Okay. They ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. Next thing they did, they were praising God. You know, one of the earmarks, I believe, of a growing church is one that's not afraid to worship. And one thing I'm loving about you guys is y'all get into where you really like the presence of God. And when you like the presence of God, you know what's going to happen? He's going to show up. He's going to show up as we praise Him. You know, one of the reasons that God's not in a lot of churches is they don't like to praise Him. They just kind of go through the motions. Praise God from whom all... it's monotone. It ought to be something from the heart. So praising God and having favor with all the people. Wow. Favor? And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. There's a whole series in that verse of Scripture right there. But the thing that I wanted you to see is that they broke bread from house to house. They met in small groups. And one of the reasons, and we have been transitioning in this church. Let me say this to you. This church is always going to be in transition because we are not a finished product. I don't want to be stuck. Does anybody want to be stuck? Have you ever got stuck in the mud? You know where you go when you get stuck in the mud? You can sit there and spin your wheels. I have spent so much of my Christian life stuck. I'm wanting to get unstuck. I want to be where God is. I want to be with what He's doing. I want to be on the cutting edge with what He's doing. I don't want to be behind. I don't want to be dragging up the rear. I want to be right there. So we got to get unstuck. So we are transitioning. And we have transitioned from a traditional Sunday night service and we're transitioning into what's called small groups. And here's the reason why. Small groups enables us to grow overall. It's impossible to disciple in large group. Why? Because I do all the talking. If we open this up and let you talk and ask questions, we would never get anything said. We couldn't cast vision. We'd be answering questions. And somebody stand up and say, where did Cain get his wife? Not Abel. Cain! Where did Cain get his wife? Some stupid question. And you ever notice people come up with weird questions sometimes? Because, you know, they're always trying to disprove the red. Where did Cain get his wife? So you cannot disciple in large groups. You have to disciple in smaller groups. So we're transitioning into that because we need the time that we come together corporately to worship. We need that time together. We need to praise God together. We need to focus together. We need to get in one mind, in one accord. And then we need to get in the smaller groups. And we need to study. And we need to eat together. Somebody say amen. Dude, if you can't get happy about that, you can't get happy about nothing. We need to eat together. We need to do projects together. We need to pray together. When somebody's sick, the group needs to come together and take care of them. We need to pastor one another. You know, the larger we get, the pastoral staff, our influence is weakened to a degree. So what do we have to do? We have to work through the body. And that's the way it should be anyway. One of the reasons that we have such small churches is because you have an expectation of the congregation of the pastor to do everything. And there's a lot of pastors that's the way they want it, and that's why their congregations are small. To grow, you have to empower people to take care of one another and allow ministry to equip. And this is what we're trying to do. I don't know any reason, and I'm not saying this out of ego, that this church could not double and triple in size. Now, we got some things to do before we can do that, other than build a building. Eventually, we have to build a building. But before we can build a building, we got to do some other things. What would happen if all of a sudden 3,000 people got saved like they did in the early church in a day? We couldn't handle it. It would just blow us away. We don't have the systems in place. We don't have anything in place that would take to take care of that. So we have to get equipped and raise up leaders that can lead small groups, because you can only do so much in the large group. So that's the thing. They broke bread from house to house. They shared with one another. They interacted with one another. Iron sharpens iron. I love it when I can fellowship with people who know the Word. I love to hear their ideals. I love to bounce my ideals off of them. Why? Because iron sharpens iron. And it helps everybody involved. And when you're able to share and people are able to share into your life, it really causes you to grow as a believer. You can't do that in the large group. You have to do that in the smaller groups. The second thing was, or the ninth point of this message is, that their message was equally focused between outward and inward. So many of our churches today, it's all about we got to take care of what's inside our walls. And all of their message is we're preaching to one another. We're getting in there and we're just having services and we're blessing one another and we're doing this and we're prophesying to one another, and it's all about one another, one another, one another, one another. And we have become so inward that we have quit producing outward. We get so inward focused that we think that God's job is to bring people in. But see, in the early church, they did address those needs, those spiritual needs that people had to learn, but they did that from house to house. They did that when they were able to gather together as a group. But more happened outside the walls than happened inside the walls. Now, how many churches do you know today, including ours, that more is happening out there through the ministry of the church than it's happening inside here? See, we still got a ways to go. And they were kind of equal in that. And We're playing catch up out there. We want to get out there. We want to equip you to get out there and make a difference where you work in your world. I can't always come into your world. Only you can be in your world. I'm not responsible for your world. I'm responsible for my world. And if we can all take responsibility for our world, guess what? You can take the message that you hear here, you can incorporate it into your life, and you can take it into your world. I can't go to Bad Boy and preach. I can't go to the hospital and minister. I can minister to the patients, but I can't minister to the staff. I can't be where you're at. So their message was equally focused between outward and inward. Number 10, they had an encounter with the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 2, verse 1 through 4. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, suddenly there came a sound as from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Wow. Can you imagine what it would be like to be in that atmosphere where you hear something, you see something, and then you experience something that's tremendous. And they went out from that place and they turned the world upside down. Now we have a big disconnect in the body of Christ where the Holy Spirit is concerned. Now this summer, I did this a couple years ago, but we're going to do it again this summer. On Wednesday nights during the summer from 6:15 to 6:45, starting this week, 6:15 to 6:45, our Wednesday night service, I'm going to do a 30-minute Bible study, and the whole subject is going to be on the Holy Spirit. I'm going to talk about that. Everything that I can think of to talk about, and everything that I can find to talk about the Holy Spirit. Then we're going to do our fantastic Wednesdays at 7, from 7 to 8. So we invite you to come. But we have a big disconnect where the Holy Spirit is concerned. We got two camps. And I understand why we have two camps. Because I've been in both camps, folks. I really have. I was raised United Methodist. I was raised United Methodist. And then I come among the Pentecostals. It was a rude awakening. From United Methodist to Pentecostal. And when I say Pentecostal, I'm saying Pentecostal, Charismatic, Word of Faith, Assembly of God. Those are the circles that I kind of moved in. And I had a rude awakening when I come among the Pentecostals. First thing I noticed about them, that they all prayed out loud. Good Methodists do not, everybody at the same time, pray out loud. God could possibly not hear a prayer like that. Okay? And then, oh my. I saw all of this stuff that just freaked me out and blew my mind. And here we've got, and I'll use my standpoint. Anybody else come from United Methodist background? Okay. And I'm looking over here at the Pentecostals and I'm thinking, I don't want anything to do with that because that's just too weird. This group over here is looking back at them and say, you poor, pitiful people. You don't know what you're missing. And over here, and you know, and really the big issue is the T issue. It's the tongue issue, the tongues. I understand that too. And over here you got no tongue. Over here, you got big long tongue. No emphasis, over emphasis. I mean, you got a tongue this long over here. And over here, they're mute. No tongue. And what's the problem? The problem is the enemy has deceived both groups. You can underemphasize something or you can overemphasize something. And these people had a relationship with the Holy Spirit. You know, and tongues was not the big issue there. And they all spoke in tongues on the day of Pentecost. But tongues was not the issue. The Holy Spirit was the issue. The Holy Spirit was the issue. And we've made it the issue, no tongues, all tongues. That's what we've made it. And a bunch of other weird stuff. Now, some of the most godly people that I have ever been around in my life are Pentecostal people. I am not slamming them, and I'm not slamming the Methodists. I'm just saying I've been in both camps. I understand the disconnect. When I was a Methodist, I was glad to disconnect because of some issues. I have seen times among the Pentecostals I'm thinking, I think I'll be a Baptist. But you know what I know about all groups? They all have their dumb issues. They all have their stuff that we get messed up over. And we take the baby and we throw it out with the dirty bathwater. And that's what we need to learn to do is to embrace that which is precious and throw out the dirty bathwater. And that's a process. And I understand that we have to find how we relate to all of that. But these early people, they had an encounter with the Holy Spirit. Now, the last thing that I want to talk about today is the gifts of the Spirit. It says the gifts of the Spirit operated outside the walls of the place of worship more than inside the walls. Now, having come from an Assembly of God, charismatic, Word of Faith background, one thing that I've noticed, that most of the what we call the charismata or the gifts of the Spirit all operates inside the church. And it's almost like we have taken the gifts of the Spirit and used them for our own entertainment. Paul addressed this in 1 Corinthians 12. There was a tongues problem there. And he was addressing the tongues problem. He didn't say, don't speak in tongues. He said, there's a problem here that you need to address because what you have is some excess going on here. And he addressed that. But in the church, a lot of times the only place that we ever see any kind of manifestation of the Spirit is within the church service. Folks, that's not the way that it was designed to be. If you look in the early church, and I think of the man at the gate, beautiful. The disciples were on their way to worship in the temple. And this crippled man at the gate, beautiful, he was begging alms. And he looked up at Peter and expecting to receive something. And he said, look on us. You know why he said look on us? Because something happened in his heart. The Holy Spirit was doing something in his heart. He said, look on us. He says, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And there was an explosion of the Holy Spirit called gifts of healing. And he grabbed him and pulled him up. And the Bible says that his ankles received strength and he was healed. And he went walking and leaping and praising God. That didn't happen in the church house. That happened in the street. Now, Wednesday night, Ashley was in worship, was flowing. And she says, I just feel like that. And she began to name some things about somebody's work. What was that? That's word of knowledge. That's word of knowledge. It operates. It ought to be a natural thing that flows. I believe that when I get up here and speak, sometimes I believe that the Spirit of God is going to direct comments directly to you so that you hear what you need to hear. And if He gives me something specific, then I'm going to give it, but I'm not always going to say, no, this is the Holy Spirit. Glory. I feel something. Robo-bo, ho-ho-ho, yeah, I feel something here. What's happening here? No, we draw attention to ourselves. And see what the Holy Spirit does? He doesn't even draw attention to Himself. He draws attention to Jesus. So sometimes we can give something and it penetrates the heart. What is that? That's manifestations of the Holy Spirit. And those things ought to happen profusely in our church services, in word of knowledge works in this one quite a bit. Because the word penetrates the heart, and sometimes there are specific things that are said that penetrate the heart. But why doesn't that happen out there? Why does that not happen in the workplace? It's because in our minds that we think that that's all relegated for the church house. And I think we've missed it. It needs to happen here, but it needs to happen out there. It needs to happen in the Bible study. It needs to happen on the job. It needs to happen at McDonald's. It needs to happen wherever you're at. But we have to be open. See, it needs to flow out of a love relationship that we have with the Father God, where we're saying, Lord, I want you to use me. Not so that I can be seen and known, but Lord, there's people that you want to touch. There's people that need to see your love. See, Jesus speaking to the woman at the well. Remember? Word of knowledge operated. Jesus didn't operate in the miraculous because he was God. He emptied himself of that. He didn't draw on that. He didn't do any mighty thing until the Holy Spirit came on him. When the Holy Spirit came on him, then he operated out of that anointing of the Holy Spirit. And he was dealing with the woman at the well, and she was talking about her husband. And he said to her, you know what? You said this right, because you've had five husbands and you're shacking up now. Now, how did he know that? It's called word of knowledge. He didn't say, ooh, I'm sensing something here. Everybody get with me. Everybody pray. No. You don't see that in the Bible. You just see that in the church. And no wonder people think, dear God, those folks are weird. Because we've acted that way. But it doesn't have to be that way. It doesn't have to be that way. And the word that he gave her penetrated her heart. It changed her. And she went out from that place and she began to say, hey, come see a man that told me about living water. Come see a man that told me everything that I've ever done. I mean, it was just such a work of grace in her life. It started a revival. You know what? I believe God wants to start some revivals in some of your workplaces. Listen to me. Ooh, Holy Spirit. Okay. Something quickened. There's some of you, if you'd shut your mouth and quit griping about your workplace and how negative it is, and you would start flowing with God and you would be open to God, God would turn your workplace around. But we're going to have to quit being negative. Christians ought to be the best employees that there are. They ought to be the most positive people that they are. That there is. Yes, good English. Are you listening to me? The Holy Spirit wants to manifest. But it don't have to be this woo. It wasn't that way with Jesus. It wasn't. And it don't have to be that way with us. But it can be powerful. It can be potent. It can flow out of agape or love. And when it flows out of that, it really penetrates the heart. Amen. I want us to pray. Father God, open our hearts and open our minds in Jesus' name, that we can see the church in a greater way than we've ever seen it before. May we get outside the box of our traditional thinking. May we come into an understanding and see that we can be a powerful people of God. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.